Hello there, public radio listener. I'm Kurt Anderson from WNYC. If I've learned one thing in my 11 years on the air, it's that you can do things on the radio that you can't do with TV or on the internet. We can tell a story, get inside your head, completely captivate you. It can be magical. But for actual magic, the rabbit out of a hat kind, modern radio is a little challenged. Until now. For today, in front of a live audience, I will call upon the gods of sorcery and broadcasting to bring you Magic on the Radio. Are you ready to be tricked? From Galapagos Art Space in Brooklyn, this is Kings County. I am Kurt the Magnificent. Ahead on today's show, the dark art of radio magic, courtesy of magician Steve Chifo, comedian and writer Jesse Klein, and live music from Eleanor Friedberger of the Fiery Furnaces. Plus, my co-host, one of the country's funniest creative minds, Kristen Schaal. That is all coming up on Kings County. But first, the news.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. The Supreme Court spoke this morning not on health care, as you may have heard already. The big case du jour was Michelle Obama's enormous collection of very expensive shoes. It was a mixed ruling. Most of the collection was struck down. Its most controversial shoe was upheld. From the Fronteras desk at KJZZ in Phoenix, Peter O'Dowd starts us off today.
And the investment was worth it, according to state leaders like Governor Jan Brewer. She called the court's ruling a victory.
Yes.
But it turns out that whether the Supreme Court tosses the whole collection or upholds the whole thing or does something in between, some of the shoes that law brought to Michelle Obama are here to stay. We called up fashion writer Kate Betts in today, appropriately, Milan, Italy.
Can she wear 1,200 pairs of shoes in one lifetime? I don't know.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. I hope you can join us. More of the same tomorrow.
And I'm Kurt Anderson, and from WNYC, this is Kings County. We're doing today's show in Brooklyn's Dumbo neighborhood at Galapagos Art Space, and let's hear it for our band leader right here behind me, Mr. Eli Bolin, everybody. Hello, Eli.
Hey, Kurt.
And we don't want to forget your drummer, Zachary Eldridge.
Of course not. Zachary Eldridge.
And let's bring out my co-host for Kings County tonight. She is a contributor on The Daily Show. You've seen her on Flight of the Conchords and 30 Rock. You've heard her on Bob's Burgers. And I'm guessing more than a few people here have probably seen her own live variety show, Hot Tub, which she does not far away from here. Please welcome from four subway stops away, Ms. Kristen Schaal.
He licked your mouth.
Yeah.
Hello, Galapagos. And thank you for that very nice introduction, Mr. Anderson.
I told you can call me Kurt.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with that, Mr. Anderson. I'm from the Great Plains, so I still have manners, and you're kind of old.
Thank you. I'm from the plains, too, actually, the Midwest, Nebraska, Omaha.
I guess that counts, but I'm from Longmont, Colorado, so I'd say I'm a little more plainsy. Plus, I went to college in Illinois, so I've covered almost all of it.
It's not a competition between us.
Everything's a competition. Did you grow up on a farm?
Actually, there was a cornfield about six blocks from my
house. I did. I win.
But it's not a competition.
What's the most Midwestern-y of the Midwestern memories you have, Mr. Anderson?
Probably when I got the axle of a piece of farm equipment that was hollow and tilted it up and threw cherry bombs down it and then tennis balls after it and shot tennis balls at a herd of cows.
Oh, wow. Sounds like fun. We had cows, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever shoot tennis balls at them?
No, we raised them from calves and then slaughtered them and ate them.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think our cows ever even saw a tennis ball. I guess your farm was a little more ritzy.
Well,
Did you raise any sheep? Or?
Well, in Nebraska, no, I have raised sheep.
I raised two baby sheep from 4-H.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, baby lambs are really sweet. And then they grow up and they're huge and fat and always bleeding at you. Just blah, blah, blah. Before you know it, you just see them as pulsating sacks of meat who need to be killed, which we also did.
That sounds kind of horrific for a kid.
They were begging for it. It's the reason they were born.
Really? Still sounds pretty rough.
No, it's nice to have a purpose in life. But enough of our trip down memory lane through the slaughterhouses of the Midwest.
Well, then I think you're going to like our first guest. He is a magician who can do sleight of hand and misdirection and all the rest of it. But he is also an actor who co-created the fantastic three-man show Elephant Room, which played right down the street at St. Anne's Warehouse. Give a big Kings County welcome to Steve Chiffo. Good to see you, Steve.
Very excited to be here.
So we had this crazy idea of magic on the radio, which seems slightly counterintuitive, but I'm told there's a history of it. There's a tradition.
Right. There is a history of it, and it kind of came out of vaudeville. You figure in the 1930s, 1940s, radio was becoming more popular, and it was just kind of inevitable that they got the acts from vaudeville on stage. So inevitably, there were a lot of magicians from the radio. But I just want to point out that there's lots of different kinds of magic, too. You know, there's grand illusions, you know, David Copperfield style. There's street magic, like David Blaine, that kind of thing. Certain magic works better for certain kinds of things. But tonight, this is why I'm very excited to be here, to try something that's never been tried before with magic on the radio. Tonight, with your help, I'm going to try a demonstration in long-distance mental thought transference.
Like radio.
Exactly, just like radio. But we'll be dealing with thoughts traveling through the ether. Now, since this is a magic illusion, I do have to create an element of mystery for you all. And I have it here now. Okay, in my hands is a box. It's a small box that is sealed, it is tied up with a rope. I have placed something inside of this box. And I'm now going to place this box in full view of you all on the stage, on this stool, in front of you, Kristen. Okay. I'm going to back up over here.
It's got a spotlight on it.
And there's a box in front of me.
It's a box in front of you. Now, the box is going to remain there for the remainder of the evening, and it's going to concentrate all of our focus and all of our energy for this mental thought transference demonstration, which will happen later this evening.
But the box is going to upstage us.
But the most important thing, and it's for you guys to do and for you guys to watch, is to make sure that from this point on until the end when we reveal it, that nobody goes near that box, especially me, obviously, or anybody from the audience. Nobody cross the moat and climb up there and do that. So just keep your eye on it. Make sure nobody touches it. And that's it for me now. I'm going to leave it in your capable hands, and I trust you with this. This is going to be a very interesting experience.
Oh, I'm not going to let anybody near that box.
All right.
I'll kill him.
And come back, because we won't know what to do with a box if you don't come back.
No, of course I'm going to come back. So that's it. So that's it for now. Good. I'll be back.
Steve Chiffo.
Enjoy the rest of the show. I'll be back. Thank you.
Steve will be back later in the show to do whatever he's going to do with that box with the spotlight on it that is sealed and tied up.
It's a white box with a hemp rope.
It is.
Yep.
It's Brooklyn.
You know what?
Yes.
Mr. Anderson,
yes, ma'am.
I also do magic.
You don't.
Oh, I believe I do.
Fire came from your fingers, Kristen Shaw.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was awesome. It's an expensive trick. I paid $50 for it at Pike's Place Market in Seattle. But I can't tell you how it's done because I don't know.
But sometime you should just take that into your local bodega and shoot fire at somebody. I think that's the intended use of that.
Yeah, do you think they'll give me all their money?
They might, well, or kill you. This is Kings County from WNYC. I'm Kurt Anderson here with my beautiful and wonderful co-host, Kristen Shaw.
Oh, you're handsome.
Thank you. Now you say that. I know
well,
how
to I want to get the... I don't want to fish.
Okay.
You know what I think it's time for?
What?
It's time for some music! What do you think, everybody? Yes! Oh, they're fired up for tunes!
And who is it?
Well, I'll tell you who it was. Well, it is. You might know her as one half of the Fiery Furnaces, the critically acclaimed Chicago duo she formed with her brother, Matthew. Her solo debut is called Last Summer, and here she is, Eleanor Friedberger!
The taxi, you turned off the TV and read me a book on your phone. Here's the return of your skeleton key. Oh, baby, the places we've gone. If that was goodbye, then I must be high. You know I'll be seeing you soon. If that was goodbye, it'll snow in July as it hailed in the middle of June. Give me your toothpaste, give me your ointment, give me a body in bed. Keep this in amber, keep our appointment, remember the things that we said. If that was goodbye, then I must be high, and you must be the sugar I need. If that was goodbye, then I am a fly, and the future is guaranteed. Because when I'm with you, everything's treasure. I forget what it's like to be gone. I'm far from the town, in the suburbs of your pleasure. I've been in exile so long. I try not to stare at the sun. No, I try not to stare at the sun. I try not to stare at the sun. Coffee and synchronized showers. I try not to look at the clock. Goodbye to your castle, wave from the tower, and drop me a line from the dock. If that was goodbye, then you must be high, and maybe I'm losing the thread. If that was goodbye, the sea has run dry, so I'll fill it with tears instead. Because when I'm with you, everything's treasure. I forget what it's like to be gone. I'm far from the town, in the suburbs of your pleasure. I've been in exile so long. I try not to stare at the sun. No, I try not to stare at the sun. I try not to stare at the sun. Forget what it's like to be gone. I'm far from the town, in the suburbs of your pleasure. I've been in exile so long. I try not to stare at the sun. No, I try not to stare at the sun. I try not to stare at the sun. I try not to stare at the sun. No, I try not to stare at the sun. I try not to stare at the sun.
Thank you so much.
Yes! Eleanor Friedberger!
And accompanied by Eli Bolin and Zachary Eldred.
That was beautiful.
It was indeed.
What a treat.
Absolutely. You know, Kristen, this is our third episode already, third episode of Kings County, and it's been going pretty good.
Yeah, who've been your other co-hosts?
Other women.
Surprised that
who
I
shall
was
remain
the third
nameless.
One
wonderful
on the list
ones.
To call,
we saved
but that's
the,
cool.
the cutest for last.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we still don't have a tagline for the show.
What? What the hell kind of operation is this?
I know.
Well, you gotta have a tagline.
I know.
You have to have one. You know, my farm growing up had a tagline.
Really? What was it?
Is the Shaw Family Farm. Keep your arms and legs away from the thresher.
And it sounds catchy. Did you actually ever get hurt as a kid on a farm?
Oh, no, thank God. But last year, I went to Scotland, and look what happened.
She's showing a giant X-shaped spider-like scar on her left knee, ladies and gentlemen.
It's shaped like the flex capacitor, to be more accurate. Which is incredible. It's my Edinburgh souvenir, because when I was there last year, because I go to the festival almost every year because I like to lose money and I miss my friends. And I was there and I decided that I would go for a jog because I was on a health kick, and I didn't realize that the terrain in Edinburgh is everything but jog friendly. Because it's hilly and it's made with cobblestones from the first time that man invented a cobblestone, and they left it there forever. They never decided to replace it. And I was going for a run this particular day, and I was doing pretty well looking around. There's a castle. I mean, it's an incredible city. And all of a sudden, I was tripped by something. I don't even know what. It could have been like the ghost of J.K. Rowling. And I went flying through the air like Superman. Like, because when I run, I'm like so in shape that I'm going like, you know, 40 miles an hour at least. And that's just at like a mild gait. So I tripped. I'm flying through the air, and I was like, uh-oh, this is bad. Like, I'm losing control. And my knee was like, don't worry, Kristen, I'll save you. I'll block this fall. My left knee. And I was like, thank you, knee. Thank you. I was worried for a minute. And my knee just picked a rock to land on. So I landed knee first on this rock, and I was like, why'd you choose that, knee? And my knee's like, because I don't have eyes, you idiot. I just said I would break it. So I looked down, and my knee is like, it's torn apart in flex capacitor shape, but now I'm looking at the inside of it, and I'm like, oh, this is bad. And I get up, and I'm like, I guess I won't be finishing this run. And I'm hobbling around looking for help like a kooky zombie, because I can't bend my knee, and I'm panicked. And the people of Scotland are very nice, but they're almost too nice. Like, they saw me like this, and they're like, oh, we should not mind our own business, you know. I miss New York so much in that moment, because everyone's rude all the time. But if they see someone like this, like four of you will look away, but one of you will be like, oh, you need help. So I found my way. I walked a block. I found my way to some help, and they called a paramedic to come, and his name was Dennis, and he had arthritis. And he took me to one hospital, and they looked at it, and they're like, that is so bad. We refuse to help her. That we don't have the tools for that. You got to take her to the Royal Infirmary. And I was psyched, because I couldn't believe they were allowing me in to the same hospital as the Queen. They took me in straight away. All they asked me for was my birthday. And then they gave me an x-ray, cleaned me out, gave me 9 stitches, and called a taxi for me, and they didn't ask for a penny. And they were very good and very, very nice. And I really, yeah. So I had to say, everybody's all up in their panties about, you know, healthcare. It's like, don't knock it till you've tried it, and I guarantee you the people have not tried it. So I have an hour till the show. And I'm so angry about it. I can't believe it that I'm like, I'm going to do the show anyways. And people are like, you can't walk. And I'm like, I don't care. The show will go on. So I hobble up to the show, and I hobble on stage. And in my mind, I'm just like, I'm going to get on that stage, and I'm going to tell them that I have just gotten up off the gurney and gone straight away to this show. And by the way, you don't get... You don't get any like Vicodin or anything over there. And it turns out you don't need it. They're like, take some aspirin. And they're totally right. They don't have that kind of stuff over there because they allow their patients to sit in the hospital on a morphine drip until they're better so people don't get addicted to pills. I'm like, you don't got any Oxycontin? Like, it blew my mind. They're like, no, we let people get better in the hospital first. So I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to get on the stage. I'm going to tell them what happened to me. And then I was so brave. And I love them so much that I came out for them anyways, and they're gonna applaud and cheer and love me so much more. So I told them, I like limped out there with my like pale face and like shaking, and I'm like, I just got off the gurney, and they were like, yay. And then they sat back and they were like, what do you got? What's the show? And I realized, as a performer, you are not allowed at any point to show weakness because people don't care. They just paid their money to be entertained, right, Kurt?
Right, Kristen.
Thanks. That's why I asked Kurt to stay on stage. And so I was like, oh, crap, I got to deliver a show now. And I did it with like just a still body and like barely any emotion through my pained lips. And I think all my punchlines come out through my hips. I think I'm just like, set up, bomb, bomb, because I couldn't do that. And it was getting lost. So
our listeners at home missed the hip move, unfortunately.
Oh, really? Yeah. Just imagine a pendulum on a sexy cat. But anyways, that's the end of that story. And I would just like to thank... I'd like to take this moment to thank the National Health Service over in Scotland. The good people of Scotland. Oh, I forgot to mention... forget it. It's over. I had another part, but I forgot it, about how the paramedic gave me his email, and it was allcock177@uk.co, like all the rest of the cocks.
Maybe that's a Scottish name, like... Lord Alcock.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's his family crest.
I'm thinking.
Yeah. All right, we'll end the story and keep moving. Edit that. Good luck. My story is over.
Kristen Shaw, ladies and gentlemen. And we are just getting started.
That's how you do
there
it.
Is a lot more ahead. Stay with us. I'm Kurt Anderson. This is Kristen Shaw. You're listening to Kings County from WNYC. Welcome back to Kings County. I'm Kurt Anderson here with my co-host, Kristen Shaw, at the Galapagos Art Space here in Brooklyn's Dumbo neighborhood.
Hey, I got an idea just off the top of my head, and
spring
I
it,
hope
baby.
People are ready for it. Let's bring out our next guest, a comedian!
Yeah.
Woo! Yes! This comedian is hot to trot. They're on fire. They've written for Saturday Night Live. What? Appeared on the Today Show? You're kidding me. CNN? What are you doing on CNN? I have no idea. She has her own Comedy Central special, and unlike Kurt and me, she's a native New Yorker. Give it up, everyone. Jessie Klein!
Everybody, I'd like to thank Kristen for my introduction, which I feel like created a sense of wonder and confusion. What is she doing on CNN? I don't know. Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing? Yay, this is a fun show. Woo! I also like being described as hot to trot, like an old slutty person. So, my favorite, does anybody here have an iPhone? Has anyone here ever seen an iPhone? Someone just booed. He's like, I'm a BlackBerry guy. It's who I am. My favorite iPhone app is Shazam. I don't know if you guys have Shazam. Give it up for Shazam. If you're not familiar with Shazam, Shazam is that like music tagging app. So like if you're at a cafe and there's a song playing, you could be like, oh, this is so familiar. It's Wilco, but which Wilco song is it? And then you hold up your phone, and you're like, oh, Summer Teeth. I kind of wish there was an app that was just like Shazam for men. I feel like that would have saved me a lot of grief over the last few years if, like, while I was out with a guy and he was talking and, like, some inner bell was ringing, but I didn't know what it was. I could just hold up my phone for a few seconds and then look at it and be like, oh, yeah, he masturbates to anime. That's who he is. Okay, so now we're only going to go out for, like, 6 months to a year. I'm at an age now where a lot of my friends are having babies, which is fine for them, I guess. The one thing that's feeling a little glitchy to me with it, I don't know if you guys are experiencing this. You know, they're all taking photos of their babies and, like, putting them up, you know, on, like, Facebook and Instagram, and that's fine. Like, show me the baby. But all of my friends are using, you know, like, Hipstamatic filters to, like, take the photo of the baby so that the photo of their baby, of their new baby, looks like a vintage photo of a baby. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, isn't the point of the baby that it's a new baby? Like, why are you trying to make me feel this, like, Urban Outfittery nostalgia for your new baby? Like, isn't it enough that it's new? Like, why does the photo of your baby have to look like one of those menus that's been in the window of a Chinese restaurant for, like, 25 years? It's just, like, weathered, or, like, the Constitution, like, burnt around the edges a little bit. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand. Like, it just, I feel like there's going to be this generation of kids who in, like, you know, 20 years, they meet people, they want to show them, you know, like, their baby photos, but then there has to be this sort of awkward explanation where it's like, okay, so here's the thing. I was born in 2012. I know it looks like I was born in the 70s, but the thing is, when I was born, my parents were, like, hipsters, and they, like, loved me, but I had to sort of be incorporated into their, like, lifestyle brand, which was the 70s. So that happened. Like, why does Terry Richardson have to take a photo of your baby? I wanted to tell, oh, this actually did happen, like, right around the corner. So I do like living in Brooklyn. I am from New York City. But I do feel like Brooklyn suffers from a thing of, you know, like, when people are trying to get attention and they pretend, like, when they get it, they're like, they weren't trying to get attention. So I was right around the corner from here a little while ago to see a play. Clap if you want. And you're welcome. And from, like, a block away, I see this guy is walking these two very adorable but also very unusual-looking dogs. And I'm, like, obsessed with dogs. Like, I'm, like, a dog, like, pedophile where I, like, stand outside of a dog park and I'm like, what's up, buddies? But anyway, so I'm like, I know every breed of dog, but I don't recognize what breed these dogs are. So I get closer so I can see. And upon inspection, they are not dogs, they are pigs. The man is walking two pigs. And so I do the only logical thing, which is I go up to him and I'm like, let's talk about this. It's literally what I said, but, like, very friendly. And he looks at me and he literally goes, talk about what? And I'm like, really? And even the pigs are like, really? We want to talk about it because we are pigs and we don't know where the f*** we are. I don't know what the ladies in the room think. I feel like it is unfortunate. It does feel like we're at a time now when, like, a lot of, like, men's expectations of us sexually are based on things they've seen in porn. And, like, internet porn, you know? And, like, you can sort of tell, you know what I mean? Because, like, you end up in bed with a guy and, like, they all sort of expect that you, like, love being, like, waterboarded with their fluids, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, no, not so much. Like, I don't know. No, that's not really for girls. Normal people. But I will say that in fairness to men, I also think that a lot of women's expectations of men romantically are sort of equally misinformed by a different source, which is like terrible romantic comedies. You know what I mean? Like terrible Kate Hudson movies. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hear a guy say to me, you know, like, shut up and bend over, you whore. Like, any more than a guy wants to hear me say, like, how come you never encouraged me to open my own bakery? Like, they're both terrible. We can all do better. So I'm 36, and, you know, I will say that when you turn 36 as a lady, you start to have conversations that you, like, never really expected you would actually be having in your life. Like, for example, I recently went to my lady doctor, which is a childish way of saying gynecologist, and it was just for, like, a regular checkup, just like an oil check, like, look under the hood, look at the engine, everything's purring down there, you guys, like a Ferrari. Everything's good. And, everything's fine. But then towards the end, you know, we're finishing up, and, like, I'm getting dressed, and then she takes out my folder, and she starts asking me these questions, but in a way where, like, her voice goes up at the end. Like, she was like, so, Jess, she's like, remind me again, how old are you now? And I'm like, I'm 36. And then she's like, and tell me again, are you dating anyone? And I'm like, no, super alone. What's up? And she's like, well, I was wondering if you would like to take this opportunity to talk about the option of freezing your eggs. And I'm like, freezing my eggs? What's that? And so innocent. And she was like, oh, it's super simple. All you have to do is just, like, inject yourself with hormones, like, 3 times a day for, like, about 1,000 days. And I'm like, uh-huh. Keep talking. She's like, and then you just come in for, like, general surgery, and then we just take an ice cream scoop and we scrape your eggs out. And I was like, you know, you are selling it. You're selling it. But I think I'm just going to, like, let my eggs rot in my body. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to do the same thing. I'm just going to do the same thing I do when I buy baby carrots, where I just sort of, like, put them in the bottom of my refrigerator, wait until they're, like, in their own, like, brown liquid, and then just throw them into the garbage. Thank you very much. You guys have been so nice. Thank you so much. This is super fun.
And you know what? We've got a theme going for the show, a livestock theme. We've got your pigs, we've got her sheep and her cows. And now, however, it is time for tonight's Kings County Quiz. Let's bring out our contestants, Jesse Klein.
Hi.
And Nathan Kite from the audience. Tonight's quiz is called The Sound of Movies, and it was actually the idea of Kristen Schaal.
Yup! Oh my goodness, I've never created my own quiz before, so I'm very excited about this. I think it's going to be incredible, and look out, Alex Trebek, you know what I'm saying?
Nathan, where do you live?
I live in Brooklyn.
Yeah, what neighborhood?
Park Slope.
Excellent. And you consider yourself something of a movie buff?
Yeah, I enjoy them. I try to go whenever I can, like, which is less as I get older.
Kristen, tell them how the game is played.
Okay, here is the awesome idea. We're going to play 3 sound effects that describe a famous movie. You guess the movie, you win, okay? Let's do a practice round to show you how it works.
This 1939 musical was filmed partly in color. The sound effects, please.
I know it. It's the Wizard of Oz.
Correct.
This game is so fun.
So let's play for real. Contestants, ready?
So ready.
We'll start easy. This 1997 film was very expensive and won 11 Oscars. The sound effects, please. Nathan?
Titanic.
Jesse?
I also think it was Titanic.
Correct answers, Kristen?
That was the Titanic! Oh my God! That was great! That was great, but that was, of course, an easy one. We're starting you off easy, but good job.
It's 1-1, Nate and Jesse.
Yep.
Next question. This 2005 sequel cost a lot of money and made a lot of money. The sound effects, please. Nate, your guess.
Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith, something.
Jesse Klein?
Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith, something.
Whoa. Correct. Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
That's correct. I don't know what else to say. That was correct.
Kurt?
Yeah, Eli?
I'd just like to point out that Revenge of the Sith was technically a prequel, not a sequel.
Whatever. I specifically said I would only do the show if there were no nerds.
Well, we didn't do the full background check on Eli. You know what that means? It's time for a speed round, one sound effect per movie. Nate is tied, so this is all Nate.
That's logical.
Item one.
Ow!
Nate?
That girl?
That was...
That's good, though. That is really good.
That was wow. The sting.
But it's my girl. You were thinking of my girl, right?
Yeah, I was thinking of my girl.
Yeah. But that was good. But it's not right.
Incorrect in any case.
We talked a lot about the sound effects, and I feel like you guys ruined them a little bit. But let me show you how it's supposed to be done, okay? So this film, released just last year, is based on an English stage play. The sound effects, please.
Kristen, you're just making this up as we go along. We don't have the sound effects prepared.
That's fine. I'll do it myself. Okay. The sound effects. Here we go. What is that, Nate? What is that, Nate? Come on, Nate.
War horse.
Yes! Yes!
And Jesse doesn't even get to guess.
I wouldn't have gotten it.
God, this is so good.
And the winner is Kristen?
Well, it's obviously Nate because you didn't give Jesse a chance to guess.
Jesse is the celebrity guest, and there's a certain perquisites involved in that. But she'll still get a prize. What are the prizes, Kristen?
Oh, well, tonight's winner gets a copy of the book I wrote with my fiancé, Rich Blomquist, The Sexy Book of Sexy Sex! It's a terrific book. It's funny and insightful. And the loser, which is Jesse, has to put up with a copy of your new novel, True Believers.
Thank you. Thank you. Jesse, Nate, thank you so much for playing our game. And don't go anywhere. There is still plenty more to come, including tonight's story about life in the city. And I'm going to ask the entire cast to help me out. I'm Kurt Anderson with Kristen Schaal. This is WNYC, and this is Kings County. From WNYC, this is Kings County. I'm Kurt Anderson.
And I'm Kristen Schaal, Mr. Anderson's co-host.
And I think Steve Chiffo is ready to come back on and do his big magic thing.
All right. I'm very excited now. I'm glad you all stayed. And just to recap, and I just want to check with you guys, that box, has anybody come near it? No. Right?
No, Krista? I've been guarding it. I've been out here the whole time, even during the breaks.
Even during the breaks.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lie, but I believe nobody has touched it or come near it.
Fantastic, because now we're going to begin our experiment in long-distance thought transmission radio magic. Now, obviously, for the
Steve, where have you been?
I've been isolated backstage by the producers in an isolation chamber of sorts.
That's the bathroom.
I've since learned it's the bathroom. But I haven't left it. I haven't tampered with it. I've been focusing myself for this moment, and this is what it's about. The people listening at home, if you hear my voice now at home, you will experience radio magic. But we have a beautiful live audience here, and I need to make... I'm going to give you guys the exact same experience of what magic could be like over the airwaves, and I need your help. And I'll just kind of deal with the people here on the floor, if that's all right. Sorry, just for... Everybody take out your cell phones and turn them on right now. Okay, turn them off at the beginning, but take them out and turn them on now, because you know we have radio waves and cell phone waves are a very similar kind of thing. And what you're going to do, the people here on the floor, we're going to have a little contest, a little race, is that you're going to call somebody right now. Let me give you the instructions first, so you know what we're gonna. You're gonna call somebody that you think you can get on the phone right now, and just if you get somebody on the line, just say, "Hey, Joe, I'm on a radio show, and they told me to phone a friend. Can you talk for a minute?" And then as soon as you get that person, your friend, I want you to stand up. Okay, so go ahead and do, and then that's when we'll know who it is, who we're going to use. So whoever gets somebody on the phone first. Now, while they're doing that, I just want to stress to you guys, this could sound like a big phony baloney thing. Oh, we got somebody. Great. Okay. So, sorry. Okay, stay right there, my man. I just want to stress. This is awesome. So, everybody else, sorry. You put your phones away. We got somebody. Here, look, step over that thing. What's your name, my man?
Tim.
Tim, and you got somebody on the line?
Yep.
All right, round of applause for Tim. That's right here. Come around this way, Tim. Okay, so now, Tim, you're up here. We've never met before, is that right?
That's correct.
And who do you have? Actually, do you have a speakerphone on that?
Do.
We're putting the phone up to the microphone.
Yeah, so you can hear it. Just don't hang up. You're on the radio.
So who is that on the end there?
It's my mother and father.
Oh, hey, fantastic. This is great.
What are their names?
Carla and Jerry.
Hi, Carla and Jerry.
Hi, whoever you are.
Fantastic. So Carla and Jerry, my name is Steve Chiffo. I'm a magician. We're here in Brooklyn tonight, and we need your help for a very interesting long-distance magic experiment. Where are you guys right now?
Pensacola, Florida.
Where are they?
Pensacola, Florida.
Pensacola, Florida. Wow. Okay. This is super long distance, more than I can imagine. So in Pensacola, Florida. Okay, now do me a favor, guys. Do you, I want you to imagine a deck of cards. I'm a magician. We're going to do kind of a card trick here. You guys are familiar with cards, I assume?
Yeah.
Right. Pensacola, Florida? Okay, here we go.
Okay.
What I want you guys to do, and maybe you can do it as a team, actually. I want one of you to think of a card suit, clubs, hearts, spades, or diamonds, and one of you to think of a value, ace to king. You can decide who does who. And have that thought in your mind. Do each of you have that?
That they're talking to you guys. Hey, Dad? Are you there?
Yeah, okay.
Hey,
we got it.
Okay, you got it.
You got it. Okay, so the point is this. Now, because it's two people in Pensacola, Florida, I could not have prearranged this, and hopefully we'll have a very randomly generated card very far away from here. For the first time, guys, would you mind sharing with... We have a wonderful studio audience here. Would you mind sharing with them the card that you guys thought of together in Florida?
Well, if we share it with them, then you'll hear it, too.
That's okay. We're all... That's pretty good. No. We'll take care of that on our end, but you...
How can it be a trick if we tell you what the card is?
I love it.
I'm already debunked at this point. No. Well, I'll tell you, we've had very strict control standards the entire performance. It's very complicated. It's Tim, right?
Tim
will explain to you the tremendous precautions we took to ensure that the information you're giving now has not been pre-released. So if you would now reveal the name of the card to everybody in a loud, clear voice.
It's the Two of Hearts.
The Two of Hearts. Two of Hearts, okay.
Fantastic. Now, would you like to change your mind at all?
No.
Okay.
We like
Fantastic. Now, okay, so I think that's all we need from you guys. We want to thank you for participating. Tim's going to call you afterwards, and he'll tell you how it all turned out, all right? So give him a round of applause. Thank you, guys. That's very good.
go leave them on.
Fantastic.
They deserve it.
Yeah, leave them on.
Perfect. Okay, so that was clear. So now, I did say this was an experiment in long-distance thought transference. Okay, now, you may have assumed that that meant that whoever we got on the phone, they were sending a thought to us, but that's not the case. No. This box has been out here. The entire performance has been guarded. Nobody's come near it. And what actually happened was a thought was transferred from this box to Pensacola, Florida. And it happened just now. So now we can break the seal on this box. And Tim, you are an audience member here. You'll be a witness. And Kristen, we have not prearranged it. Kurt and Kristen had no idea what was going to happen tonight as well. So now we can break the seal. Would you please untie the hemp rope surrounding the little white box? And please give Kristen the hemp rope. Kristen, you can keep that as a souvenir. And now, Tim, would you please lift off the top lid of the box? And onto the mic, would you tell everybody what you see inside of that box?
I see a box of cards.
A box of cards. Now, if I may, again, keep your eyes on me very close. I'll do this very slowly. There is, in fact, a box of bicycle playing cards. Okay, it is a blue deck of cards.
He's holding it with two fingers.
Holding it with two fingers. It's still closed. It is an open box of cards. Because now I'm going to tell you what the thought was inside. Before I came out here tonight, I removed one card, turned it face up, or face down, depending on which way you hold the deck, and I placed it, I think, very close to the top of the deck. Maybe the second card from the deck is facing the opposite direction of all of the other cards. And it's in here. Now, I want you to verify. I'm just going to open the box and slide the cards out. Is that fair?
Yep. Very fair.
There's nothing else in the box.
Okay.
I'm going to hold the cards up like this and spread through, and you can see all the different faces. Is that correct? And if you look at, towards the end, where I said it would be, there is, in fact, one card, correct, that is facing the opposite direction. Do you see that card?
I do see that card.
This card has been in the box the entire time. I have not touched the cards. You called your parents in Pensacola, Florida.
I did.
On this evening.
Yes, I did.
You did not expect to be doing that.
No, I did not.
One of them thought of a suit. One of them thought of a value. And they said the two of hearts. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is the first demonstration of long-distance thought transference over the radio tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the Two of Hearts.
Awesome!
Tim! Yeah!
What a good one, my man!
Hey!
A round of applause for Tim! That was great, my man. Tell your fans,
amazing.
Thank you very well. Let me help you down here. You watch your step coming around here. Again, another round of applause for Tim. Don't fall into the moat on your way down. Beautiful.
Steve Chippo, ladies and
Thank
gentlemen.
Thank you very much. That was pretty good. Thank you.
Steve!
Awesome.
Wow.
You know, Kristen, let's do what we came here to do, which is to tell this little story about life in this city, and we're going to need everybody's help to do it. So,
okay.
Steve Chiffo, come back. Jesse Klein, come back. Eleanor Friedberger, come back. And this is kind of a science fiction story.
Or is it? Is it, though?
Well, recently I heard about a way you can take a trip to the future. Kristen, you want to come along?
On a trip to the future? Would I ever... What do we do?
First, we get on the subway at Bedford Avenue.
Canarsie-bound L train, stand clear of the closing doors.
This is stupid. I don't see how the L train is going to take us to the future.
That's because, Kristen Shaw, you've never listened closely to the conductor before. Don't worry, nobody does, but listen.
L train to Canarsie, making stops at Lorimer Street, Grand Street, and DeKalb Avenue. Next stop... The year 2512.
The year 2512?
That's our stop.
Whoa! Wow!
You look amazed.
I mean, well, I got off the train. This is Williamsburg in the future?
It looks exactly like Williamsburg did in 2012.
I know. I was kind of expecting, you know, hover cars and hover bikes and hover livery cars.
Yeah, stuff. There's nothing hovering at all. You sure this is the future?
Ah, Michelle, Mr. Anderson, welcome. We've been expecting you.
We'll be your tour guides for the day.
How do you know our names?
You left quite an extensive record of your lives through your emails and tweets and Yelp comments and Facebook updates and so on.
You read our emails?
I did. I waded through all that crap you two left behind. I can tell you anything about your lives.
Do you know when I died?
Oh, don't worry, Michelle. You lived to a ripe old age.
Yes!
And what about me?
Why don't we just start our tour?
What is this place? It doesn't seem possible that Williamsburg hasn't changed at all in 500 years.
Oh, it did change. But then we changed it back. This is a theme park of sorts. A perfect recreation of what the neighborhood was like in the early 2000s.
Mr. Anderson, Miss Shaw, welcome to the new Colonial Williamsburg.
Wow, it really is a stunning recreation. It's almost
what the hell is that?
No need for alarm. That's just a giant disembodied lumberjack beard riding a 6-story-high brakeless bicycle. Just like when you were alive.
Here's a fashionable couple from your era.
What are they doing?
Walking up North 8th with a pair of eyeglasses so big they were sharing them across their two heads. As people did in the early 2000s.
I think somewhere along the way you people got some bad information.
Shh! Let's listen to their conversation.
Sounds great, but you've got to try it with trapezoidal ice cubes and my persimmon anise bitters.
Oh, no thanks. I don't drink alcohol.
See, you guys have the details all wrong.
It really does just seem a little bit off.
This Williamsburg is an island of grotesqueries and abominations!
As it always was, but this seems even more so.
Yes, we keep hearing that. I can explain. We kept some of the original Williamsburgers isolated for the last 500 years. And when you isolate a species, they evolve in strange ways.
Like Shetland ponies or Komodo dragons or the turtles of the Galapagos Islands.
You know, back in 2012, there was a club in Brooklyn called Galapagos.
Yes, the Galapagos Art Space. Sadly, it was destroyed in a laughter explosion back one Friday night in summer of 2012. But look up here, more of our wonderful creatures.
I just started doing these small format landscapes of the Newtown Creek Waste Processing Plant.
I'm curating a collection of the best Foursquare check-ins by my favorite local collection curators.
Aren't they wonderful?
Cart, this place is sickening.
I know, let's go home. This has been really interesting and educational, but I think we need to get back to actual 2012 now.
I'm afraid that's not possible. It seems the L train is closed for track work.
I get it. Very accurate. You've even recreated how the L train always shuts down for some stupid reason.
No, it's really closed. Even in 500 years, they haven't managed to get it to work right.
Great. Well, can we at least get something to eat while we wait?
Is Grimaldi still open?
Down in Colonial Dumbo? Of course it is. It's a perfect recreation.
You'll love it. The line is at least 3 miles long.
Okay, Kristen, before we go, it's time to announce the winners of tonight's tagline contest.
Oh, my goodness.
Come and join me so you can see them.
Yes, sir. Okay, our second runner-up. Oh, no. Somebody answer that phone and have them guess a card, and we'll bring Steve right back out. No? Okay. Our second runner-up is Michelle Brangan.
I think it's Michaela.
Oh, okay. Our second runner-up is Michaela Brangan.
And her tagline is...
Whatever, Portland. We have subways. That is awesome. I have been stranded on a street of Portland more than once just hoping to God a cab would come by.
Our first runner-up is by Anonymous. It is Kings County. Wait, you haven't joined the food co-op yet?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Okay, and our winner is Robert Weston. His tagline is, Kings County, come for the show, stay because you're drunk.
And that does it for this, our third show. Kings County, come for the show, stay because you're drunk, is a production of WNYC. Our executive producers are Steve Bodo and Chris Bannon. Our head writer is Paul Sims. And our magnificent, heroic, amazing senior producer is Joel Meyer. Our audio features were produced by John Collins and Jonathan Mitchell. Our technical staff is led by George Wellington with Ed Haber, Noriko Okabe, and Wayne Schulmeister. We had help from Rich Blomquist, Greta Cohn, and our Harvard-educated, underemployed intern, Zachariah Hughes. Our band is the fearless Eli Bolin and his drummer, Zachary Eldred. Kevin Bartini entertained the crowd. Special thanks to Galapagos Art Space here in Brooklyn's Dumbo neighborhood. For my darling, wonderful co-host, Kristen Schaal, and our guests, Jesse Klein, Steve Chiffo, Eleanor Friedberger, thanks to all of you for being here. Thanks to all of you as well.
Thank you, Kurt Anderson.
Thank you again, Kristen Schaal. I'll see you around. We'll see you again in Kings County.